Thank you so much, Victor. Thank you, church. You may take a seat. It is so wonderful to be back with you in probably one of the most beautiful places in all of Aotearoa, the Great Bay of Plenty. I was born and raised in Whangarei, so I miss the smell of the ocean and the sound of the crashing waves, so it's great to be back near the mighty Pacific Ocean with the smell of salt air and the breeze. So good to be with you guys all. Happy New Year, first Sunday in 2019, and you guys are red hot. It is so great to see a church full on the first service of the year, saints worshiping, fellowshipping, encouraging and building each other up, encouraging each other in our faith. That's what it's all about, right? Lifting the name of Jesus Christ and starting the year right with Jesus Christ right in the crosshairs of our life. So I'm so proud of you for turning up this morning. I'm so proud of you for being front-footed in your worship. I can hear you clapping. I can hear you yelling and hooraying the name of Jesus Christ. There's no greater sound than the sound of the saints elevating our great Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. You guys are wonderful, and I'm always deeply inspired when I visit this church, partly because of, you know, the building is inspirational within itself, but far greater, you know, because here are the Hood seniors seated on the front row, and the history that this church carries is inspirational. That's what inspires me and your great senior pastors now, Alan and Eleanor Hood, some of the finest people in our nation. My wife Sarah and I have known them for a number of years now, and their life is evidenced, or you know, the quality of their character is evidenced over the years we've been doing life with them, and their generosity, in their excellence of spirit, and their gentleness of heart. And it is so wonderful to be here. And I just really believe, you know, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had, you know, the 12, you know, tribes of Israel, and it just, the curve was exponential. And I just really see it over City Church and Tauranga, you know, as you know, one generation hands on to another generation, that the curve is going to be exponential for City Church Tauranga. The greatest days are in front of you and not behind you. And as one thing, you know, just as we faithfully do what's in front of us, we're setting up the next generation for a great victory. And as Abraham safely stewarded his one son, Isaac, his promise, he was setting up Isaac to have Jacob, who was setting up Jacob to have the tribes of Israel, who was setting up the greatest nation on the face of the earth. It's all a big setup, and as we diligently tend and steward what God has put in our hands and put in our lives, he is faithful to bring the increase. He is faithful to breathe life on it. He is faithful to bring into fruition the desires of our heart. If we are faithful to steward what he says, if you're faithful with the small, if you're faithful with the current, if you're faithful with what even may seem mundane and sometimes boring, he is faithful to breathe his life and his abundance and his favor onto what he has given us. So I want to encourage you this morning, this church, I'm telling you, it is poised to see Tauranga, Papamoa, you know, the northern suburbs of this great area, reached with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of if or a matter of but. It is simply a matter of when. And I'm telling you, you're going to see it. You guys are going to see it. You're going to see it and welcome it in. So, so good. But, and love from my wife, Sarah. She's down preaching in Taupo this morning, two morning services. And I think she may even be preaching tonight as well at our evening service. So, that's great. But it's so wonderful to be with you all once again. The title of my message this morning is Catch the Fox. You can all say that with me, Catch the Fox. We are going to catch the fox this morning. We're going to catch the fox in 2019. In our small backyard in Taupo, we tried to grow a vegetable garden, but it was far too high maintenance. So this spring, the vegetable garden was changed for grass. But one thing survived the cull of the vegetable garden, and that was the faithful grapevine. And the grapevine always intrigues me because for about 9 months of the year, I would swear it is stone cold dead. It kind of just hangs on the fence, lifeless, it's dry, it's brown, it's brittle, and it's doing nothing. It just looks like it's dead. But sure enough, every springtime, it comes into, you know, little buds grow on it, little green sprouts come off it. And slowly but surely, leaves grow and all these new shoots grow off it. And this thing that would appear to have been dead for 9 months of the year is now the very picture of life itself. So out in our backyard now, currently along a whole entire fence line, is our grapevine, covered in these lush green leaves and all these bunches of green grapes that we're just anticipating and waiting to turn purple so we can eat them. And I find this imagery so parallel to the time of year that we find ourselves in. You know, without much effort at all, a little bit of pruning and a little bit of water, that grapevine bursts into life. And as we cross over from 2018 to 2019, we naturally find ourselves in the year of dreaming, in the year of, you know, the season of new growth, the season of anticipating what is to come. And I love that we live in the southern hemisphere and our new year and spring and summertime happen simultaneously. We don't go into our new year in the stone cold of winter. We come into our new year where everything around us is telling us to dream, where everything around us is telling us to grow, where everything around us is telling us to bear fruit, to increase, to expand, to be revived and refreshed and to have new growth on us. And we come into 2019, where all around us in nature surrounds us with vivid imagery to increase, to expand, to grow, to dream. And so we find ourselves the very first Sunday of 2019. And the atmosphere, I can feel it even this morning in worship, the atmosphere is ripe with dreams. The atmosphere is ripe with all of the saints considering and anticipating all that 2019 has to offer, whether that's in education, whether that's in a relationship, whether that's in business, whether that's in your spiritual faith, whether it's in your family, whatever it may be for you, we are in the time where naturally we dream. As the grapevine is naturally in a time where it grows and bears fruit, and every time I walk into the backyard, my palate tingles when I see the grapes hanging there, and I can, you know, I can feel it on the inside of me, that anticipation of picking that first bunch and eating it and the taste sensation, the bitter mixed with the sweet. And as we go into 2019, we too are in a similar season of anticipating a great year that is to come. And that's why the title of my message this morning is called Catch the Fox. Because as our grapevine needs very little input from us to grow and bear fruit, it needs help from us and needs us to be diligent to protect the fruit until it is ready for harvest. So that the waiting, the pruning, the watering is not done in vain. They would not simply see the fruit, would not simply gaze upon the fruit, would not simply anticipate what is to come, but we would partake in the fullness of what is to come. And my heart for you is that you'd not go through 2019 anticipating and expecting, but you'd go through 2019 partaking and participating in the harvest, in the dream, in the promise, in the fullness of what God has for your life. But we've got to catch the fox. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles this morning, we're going to read from a somewhat obscure book. We're going to go to the Songs of Songs, or the Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. And it says this, chapter 2, verse 15, in the Songs of Songs, it says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes, the unseen foxes, the small foxes, the foxes that in scope of the size of the vineyard may seem of little consequence or of little importance. The foxes that in their smallness sneak under the fence, sneak under the radar, sneak through that which has been put up to keep them out. Songs of Solomon is telling us to catch the foxes, the little foxes. Why? Because it is the small things that ruin the big things. It is the small fox that ruins the big harvest. It is the small fox that ruins the big vineyard, our vineyards that are in bloom. It is a vivid picture. You can imagine, I'm not sure if you have vineyards around the Bay of Plenty, I'm sure, in fact, I know you do, and down in the Hawke's Bay, if you drive through those vineyards now, they will be lush, they will be green, and they will be hanging with grapes like my backyard, but, you know, 1,000 times over. And the images that the songs of Solomon is giving us is to catch the foxes that they don't ruin that which we are waiting to receive. That those little foxes don't ruin that which we are anticipating. Those vines that are in bloom, as you walk through the vineyard, you can smell it. You can smell the grapes, you can smell the leaves, you can smell the earth. It is a season, it is a picture of fruitfulness, it is a season of anticipation, it's a season of impending good, the harvest that is to come. And the writer of Songs of Solomon is telling us to catch the foxes that seek to ruin the vineyard that is in bloom. And at the beginning of 2019, we need to be Christians and believers who are diligent to catch the foxes that are in our lives. Not simply dream. That comes naturally to dream. It comes naturally in the presence of God to think big and to think beyond and to cultivate this dream culture. And we, as in one part, we need to be dreaming, but there's another part that we need to be catching, that which seeks to rob us of the dream. That it would not simply remain a dream within us, but it would be actualized. Not just like a carrot leading a donkey along through life, that which it anticipates but never gets to receive. God wants you not just to be led through life by a dream. He wants you to live the dream that He has for your life. But it is the small fox that seeks to rob us of the harvest. I've never done a lot of tramping, but I did some when I was in college. I'm not sure if we've got any avid hikers in the room, or, you know, your overnight campers. I think if I did it now, I'd be one of those trampers that, you know, walked while someone else took my bag to the destination. But I remember in college going in a 2 or 3 day hike, and we got these great big packs and we filled them with food and clothing, etc., etc. And I remember going to get it, to put it on, and going to pick it up and thinking, my gosh, this thing is heavy. Like, how is this going to work? I think it was about 20 kilos. And I remember picking it up and thinking, man, this is going to be a hellish 2 or 3 days lugging this thing all around, you know, the bush of Whangarei. And got my friend, we all arrived to the starting point, got friends, we all helped each other into our packs. And I found once the pack was on my shoulders, and it had all these buckles, one around here and one around up here, I found that once the weight was positioned properly on me, it wasn't actually so heavy. And that pack was designed to be carried by me on my shoulders, on my back. It was designed, the weight was spread, the weight was positioned on me properly that I could carry it, not effortlessly, but I could achieve each day the journey that was in front of me despite the weight that I was carrying. And every single one of us, our dream is going to have weight attached to it. Your marriage, your family, your business, your career, your education. It's a weight, and it's a healthy weight for us to carry because it's designed for us to shoulder that burden, to carry it through life. There's no problem with carrying the pack, but however, there is a problem with having a stone in your boot. See, I could carry that pack all day long, 8-10 hours, and yeah, I'd be worn out, yeah, I'd be tired, but it was okay because that pack was designed for it to be carried by me. I know I was designed to carry that weight. But as soon as I got a stone in the toe of my boot, disproportionate in size and weight to the pack, what turned from a walk, you know, went from a walk, became a hobble, became a crawl, became a dead standstill simply because of the stone in my boot. This is the image of the fox in our vineyard. We cannot neglect the small stones in the ends of our boot, the small things in our life that we think it's no big deal, it's no problem, it's all good, I've got this, because the stone in your boot, it will be the thing that stops you from arriving at your destination, not the pack on your back. The dream won't wear you out. It is the small stone in the end of your boot that will wear you out, grind you down, and leave you in pain and discomfort. It's disproportionate to the size of the pack. The fox is disproportionate, you know, in comparison to the size of the vineyard. And that thing in your life may be disproportionate to the size of your dream. However, if we do not catch it, if we do not ransom it, and if we do not deal with it, it will inevitably cripple us and disable us from the fullness of the dream that God has for us, from the fullness that 2019 has in store for us. We must catch the fox. So today, we're going to do it. At 2019, we're going to shake the stones out of our boots. We're going to catch the foxes in our vineyards. And we're going to go into 2019 with a positive expectation of all that God has for us. Not that it's going to remain a dream, but it's going to become a reality in our life. And you may think, well, what would I know about catching a very fox? Well, very little. Because like you, I live in New Zealand and we do not have foxes. We have nothing dangerous to catch in New Zealand apart from the cold. And it's summertime, so we're in the clear. We're going to catch the metaphorical fox. I was sitting in a staff meeting a while ago, and in our office it's got net curtains all around it so the sun, you know, doesn't blaze through the windows. And we're in a meeting discussing something probably of relative importance. And the meeting grinds to a halt as someone's attention is clearly shifted from the topic of discussion to something out the window. But the thing that their attention had fixed on was not out the window, it was between the window and the net curtain, and it was a mouse. A mouse had climbed up the inside of the netting, and once somebody saw it, of course, everybody turned to see it. And what unfolded from that moment was pure chaos in our office. There was people on chairs, there was people running out of the room, there was people screaming, and the girls were sitting there being like, "Men, what are you doing with your lives? You know, sort this thing out." Everything had to stop until that mouse was caught. Nothing could go on peacefully. Nothing could go on productively. Nothing could go on constructively. Nothing could go on easily with there being any thought that that mouse may still be somewhere in the room. Everything had to stop, and priority number one became catching the mouse. The couch was turned over, the cushions were thrown off, and we caught that mouse and we disposed of it in a humane manner. But nonetheless, we made sure that that mouse had no opportunity of re-entering our meeting, of re-entering our office and repeating the chaos that it had brought the first time. There's no way I wanted that mouse to have the option of making a nest in my couch. Because one mouse turns into two, and then two turn into an entire family that is living under your seat. And it doesn't make for easy meetings. And it doesn't make for easy living, easy leading, easy pastoring when we have mice living in our couches, or small foxes living in our vineyards, or small worries living in our heads. I do not want you to live 2019 with a head full of foxes, with a spirit full of foxes, with a family full of foxes, with a marriage full of foxes. Don't live. Don't go into 2019. This is it, the first Sunday of the year. We're going to catch and call out the foxes that seek to rob us of the harvest we're anticipating. We aren't going to live 2019. We aren't going to go into this year with a head full of foxes, with things robbing us, troubling us, stirring us up on the inside. These small things bringing discomfort and concern and that sinking feeling inside of us. Don't live. Listen, don't live with a head full of foxes. Because what starts as one will become many. And what starts small has a habit of growing. And what was once occasional has a habit of becoming frequent. And what once was laying dormant will most probably become active in our lives. Don't give away mental real estate for a fox to build a home in your head. There is no for sale signs in your head for the fox to purchase mental real estate. The battlefield is up here in our thinking, in our processing center. And don't give away mental real estate for a fox to build a home in your life. Because once he's got a home, he'll invite over his friends. And worry will invite anxiety. Anxiety will invite dread. Dread invites fear. Fear invites shame. And before you know it, your thoughts are living in the wrong neighborhood. Your thoughts aren't meant to live in that neighborhood. The Bible tells us whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, think about such things. That is where our thoughts are meant to live. Our thoughts are not meant to live in fear and anxiety and depression and worry. Our thoughts are meant to live in freedom. And are your thoughts, as you go into 2019, living in the wrong neighborhood? Where are your thoughts living? Who are they hanging out with? We're not good. Don't take them into 2019. Don't think, oh, well, it's just always been there. It doesn't have to always be there. It may be a process to get out of it, because some things are a process to get into. But this morning, we're going to start to turn the ship around. This morning, we're going to start to turn the destiny around. This morning, we're going to start to chase out that which has snuck in. We're not going to take it into 2019. We're going to catch it. So on the next 6 minutes and 51 seconds, I, Mark Percy, will teach you how to build a very simple but very effective fox trap for all of us to catch our metaphorical fox. You will not start 2019 with a fox in your thinking, with a fox in your marriage, a fox in your business, a fox in your education, a fox in your family, a fox in your personal life. You're going to catch it this morning. I'm not going to do it for you, but you're going to catch it and call it out this morning. And deal with it, may it be ever so severely, in Jesus' name. So, here we go. When I read my Bible, sometimes I find keys, like singular pieces of scripture that unlock revelation, solution, answers, direction. You know, things like that. And it's lovely when it happens, like when the scripture just pops out and you kind of get an answer to a problem, or, you know, a fresh revelation about something. But what happens more often when I read scripture is that I build traps. Constructing scripture upon scripture to build into my life habits, routines, systems, character, and lifestyle that are going to protect me. Like, the Bible is not just for a Hail Mary every morning, hoping Jesus gives you a nice scripture. The Bible is for you to build your life upon, so when the storm comes, even though it beats and blows against your life, it shall not fall. Your life, the Bible is for you to construct your life upon. So when I read my Bible, I construct my life with the living Word of God. It's not just God speak to me, give me some lofty revelation or some beautiful, lovely, you know, word of encouragement from you. No, it's God help me build my life according to your word. And when I read my word, I build traps into my life. And honestly, we have enough keys, enough open doors for all of us in this room to have a reasonably clear pathway forward. Like, there's enough books, there's enough 10-step processes and 3-point messages for us to kind of, you know, know what God wants us to do with our lives. We need to build traps to help us do what God already has in store for us, that we're not taken out by a sneaky little fox. And I'm without doubt, at the beginning of 2019, you have hopes, dreams, desires, and aspirations for the year that is ahead of you. And I don't see people taken out of faith and ministry, marriages, friendships, families, and churches because of a key or because of an open door. People get taken out because they don't have traps to catch the sneaky fox. Pride, offense, doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, lust. A little yeast has a habit of working its way through the entire batch of dough. And we use the Bible to build into our lives traps to protect our thinking and to protect the gateways to our spirit, the gateway to our soul, the gateway to our thinking. And we cannot entertain the small fox. We cannot, for the sake of being humane or politically correct or wanting to avoid conflict and hurt feelings, let things live in our lives that will, on the end, turn around and do us no good. So how do we trap the fox? This is how we do it. We go to our Bibles, and I have 4 quick points. Now, and for your convenience, they spell the word trap. Like, I'm making the start of 2019 as easy as possible for you. So we talk, we read, we act, and we pray. This is how you build a trap. This is not the only way, but this is, you know, the Mark Percy 2019 version of to build a trap. Talk, read, act, pray. James 5:16 says this, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." We talk about what we're going through. We don't isolate. In fact, there's a proverb that says, "The fool isolates and rages against wise counsel." Let's not be those people going into 2019. Let's be people who have a humble spirit, who are willing to talk about where we're at. And we can be like this, confess your sins, be like, "Oh, no, it's not really a sin. I'm not kind of doing anything, you know, big or bad or ugly." Let's not, you know, lump sin into, sin is to simply miss the mark. I was aiming for this and I hit over there, or I hit the wall, or I hit the floor. It's simply not hitting the mark that you're aiming for. So talk with someone about what you're going through. Catch up with a mate and say, "Man, I've got this worry that won't leave me alone. I've got this sinking feeling." As you talk about it, you'll set yourself free. It's really simple. Now, the problem with these messages is they can appear too simple. But God wants to make it easy for you. And the word healed means to make better, get better, alleviate, or put right. And as you talk, simply sharing with a close friend or a pastor or a connect leader what you're going through, and you pray with each other, healing will come to your life. You get made better. You get put right. What heavy on you is alleviated. Things get put right. The simple act of sharing with a friend what is going on will set you free and ransom the fox for what it is. When you turn the light on, darkness has to leave. I've never walked into a room and observed a fight between light and darkness. Like, the light comes on and gets pushed back a little bit and pushes back. No, When the light's on, darkness is gone. When you share it, its power is broken. When you bring the light into the equation, the darkness, the fox, the stone, the mouse, whatever it is, it's got to go in Jesus' name. And you get someone to pray because the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. It is not weak and lame. Do not let pride be the fox that ruins your vineyard. Talk about it. Have the conversation. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So if bad company corrupts good character, we must also know that the opposite is also true, that good company fortifies good character, strengthens good character, solidifies good character, and reinforces good character. Like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You are who you hang with. Birds of a feather flock together. If you want to be an eagle, don't hang around with the turkeys. You may have to change a few friendships going into 2019 to get free from the foxes that are in your life. The Bible is not medicine, it is bread. It's not medicine to take when you're sick, that is part of it. It's bread to take every other day, every day of the week. So we pray, we read. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Proverbs 3 Verse 5, be a student of the word, not of novels or other people's revelations. Get your own revelation and read about it and write it down. Read your Bible more than you read any other book. Read your Bible more than Christian novels. Read your Bible more than, you know, other preachers or pastors' commentaries. Get your own commentary going on. Have a deep, intimate relationship with the living Word of God. It will truly set you free as you read and allow the Bible to minister to you and build your life. We act. We pray. Oh no, we talk. We read. We act. 2 Corinthians says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When I go to the supermarket and I don't take a list, it's an absolute shambles. I'm not sure if this has happened to you. You write a list, you leave it on the bench where most lists live, and you proceed to the supermarket, and you spend all that time walking around the supermarket not remembering what to buy. You're trying to remember what you've forgotten. And you look in your trolley and you're like, I know I've forgotten something. What is it that I've forgotten? And you end up remembering what you should forget and forgetting what you should remember. So you have the chocolate but not the toilet paper, you know. And then you get home to your wife and she's like, where's the list? And she said, I made a mental list. She's like, yeah, too right you did. But this is the simple application of that scripture. When you make a list to go to the supermarket, what are you doing? You're taking thought captive. You're thinking it and you're writing it down. I need bread, I need milk, I need this. And you're captivating your thought onto that piece of paper. You've caught it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to even think about it. When you go to the supermarket with a list, you're not there all the time trying to remember what to buy. You've caught the thought. Write it down. Take the thought captive. One of the most simple and freeing things you can do is just keep a little journal. You write fear. I've got a fear fox. I've got a worry fox. You write it down and say, I've caught you. I've caught you on that paper. And you pray, I make you obedient unto Jesus Christ. They make you obedient unto the Word of God. It may seem too simple. It may seem a little bit crazy. But trust me, just as going to the supermarket with a list frees up your mental hard drive, so does keeping a little journal about what's going on in your spiritual life. It will set you free in Jesus' name. So simple, but so powerful. Take the thought captive. Don't let it run around and role play on repeat. Take it captive. Write it down. Speak, Jesus, I make you obedient. You spirit of fear, you spirit of, you know, insecurity, you spirit of doubt. I want to pray for you in a minute. Last point is pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This is a wonderful scripture for me because every time I read it, I have instant application for it. Worry plagues me, has plagued me. Prayer, the most powerful weapons. This has been a fox in my life. It disrupted and disturbed all manner of areas of my life. It got in my sleep, it got in my leadership, it got in my work, it got in my relationships. The sneaky worry fox crept in like a mist under a door without me knowing, without me seeing, and it began to mess up my vineyard. And I don't want to generalize or assume, but I would confidently say that each and every one of us is at some stage stalked by the worry fox. And some of us, while we're here, even in this great environment of worship and faith and fellowship, have the worry fox in our heads. The problem, the person, the money, the relationship. I'm telling you, don't leave with it. This is why we do church. Stuff stays here. It doesn't have to go with you back into the week, back into your family, back into your relationships, back into your marriage, back into your business. We have an altar so things can be put on it and God can deal with it. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar if you've got a fox in your life you want to catch. I'm not going to ask you to share what it is. It may be private, it may be personal, but God knows what it is, and God knows where your heart is, and God knows that as you walk to the front, to the altar, there's going to be a supernatural transaction that takes place as you call out the fox in your life. Don't leave it. It's right now, it'll be telling you, nah, it's not that thing, it's not that big a deal, I'm not a fox, I'm not a worry, I'm not this. Do not listen to it. Walk up here and claim your freedom in Jesus' mighty name. The thing is about a fox is he's so sneaky. Error rides on the back of truth, but it is not truth. And that thing's even going to be, that's not you. Don't do it. Leave it till next Sunday. Leave it till 2020. You'll get through. Don't listen to it. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to what your heart is saying. If you want freedom today, it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the taking. We simply step out, we rise to our feet in faith, and we walk. We take a journey of faith surrounded by people who love us, who encourage us, and whose desire is for the very best for us. You are in the most supportive, encouraging environment on the face of the earth. In a moment, I'm going to ask you if you've got a fox, if you want to stand to your feet and take a walk of freedom. When I was young, we lived in the countryside. It's pitch black at night, no street lights, no ambient light. We lived removed from other houses. And one of my jobs was to take the wheelbarrow to the woodshed to get wood for our great big open fire. The woodshed was across a field, across a paddock, on the boundary of our property, and on the other side of our boundary was a pine tree plantation, great big towering pine trees, and in the wind they'd blow and they'd creak and groan and they'd knock against each other and make all sorts of wonderful noises. And my job was to go out when we needed to get wood, and if it was in the daytime, so be it, but if it was in the nighttime, I'd go and get the wood, and I'd go out there with the wheelbarrow across, is about 100 meters probably across this field, now probably about 70. And I'd fill up this wheelbarrow with wood, and I'd turn around and I would start to walk back to the house. The house is over there, and I could see the lights, or dimly light the grass, but only just, but I could see where I was headed. And I'd start to walk back with the wheelbarrow, and a walk would turn into a brisk walk, which would turn into a jog, which would turn into me full-blown running with the wheelbarrow across the paddock. Because I swore that there was something behind me that was about to reach out and snatch me up. It was so real, it caused the young boy with a wheelbarrow full of wood to run full pace with a full load of wood in front of him across a dark field, because I was convinced that that thing was that real, it was going to catch me. It was going to have its way with me. This followed me into my late teens, I'd find myself outside at night with and a shiver would go up my spine, like that thing's there. Then one day, I just turned around. And what was so real once vanished. Town, you got to make a stand. Stop running. Stop running from the fox, whatever that thing is in your life. You got to stop running. You got to stand your ground and you got to turn around and take it on. Now, whenever I feel that feeling, I look forward to it. If I'm out in the night and that feeling of something sneaking up behind me is there, I just stop. It feeds on fear. It feeds on insecurity. It feeds on anxiety. You're going to call it out this morning, church. Don't take it into 2019. Don't take the fox, the mouse, the stone, whatever that image is for you, that thing that plagues you and haunts you and you feel like it's hunting you down. Do not take it into 2019. You stand up against it. The Apostle Paul said, once you've put on the full armor of God, stand. Stand your ground. In the face of adversity, in the face of the enemy, in the face of whatever's going on around your life, stand. And the same call goes to you this morning. I want you to be set free. I don't want you to respond to my message. I want you to respond to the call of God on your life. And the call of God on your life is freedom and fullness. Freedom and fullness is God's plan for your life. So on every head bowed, and every eye closed. And if you're here this morning and you want to catch the fox that's in your life, you don't want to take it into 2019. If that's you here this morning, I want you to stand in your seat. If you've got a fox in your life, yeah, God bless you. Let's all come on. Stand. This is your moment. That thing's been chasing you. That thing's been plaguing you. That you've been running from that thing. Some of you for 20 or 30 years, insecurity has plagued you and robbed you. No more from today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Insecurity will not dominate you anymore. The person who stares back at you in the mirror will smile. The person who stares back at you in the mirror will stand strong and will stand tall. Who else is there this morning? Don't run anymore. No more running. Remember, the righteous are as bold as the lion. The wicked flee, even though no one pursues them. Yet the righteous person is as bold as a lion. The lion beats the fox. The lion beats the mouse. The lion roars. The Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ Himself, roars over your life this morning. The sound of the Lion of Judah, the sound of authority, the sound of freedom, the sound of security, the sound of identity, the sound of freedom. Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, He roars over your life this morning. Jesus, I pray right now and I prophesy to every single person standing in this room. And if you'd be so bold, I want you to step out of your seat and walk to the front. You do not have to, but if you're serious about this thing, if you're serious about this fox, if you really want to take it on, I want to encourage you to take a walk of faith. Yeah, that's awesome. I thank you, Jesus. We don't run. We don't flee, Lord. We're as bold as a lion. And this morning, I prophesy the walk of faith as we bring it to the altar, as we bring it to the presence of God, as the fire falls, Lord. The hay and the straw, the things, Lord, that are of this world are burnt up, and the things of your kingdom remain, the gold, the silver, the destiny, the dream, the identity. Lord, it comes to the front. I thank you, Jesus. That, Lord, you came to set your people free. Not half free, not partly free, but fully free. And that he who the Son sets free, that person will be free indeed. I thank you, Jesus.